Number two, I want to give you a lesson that I've actually preached and taught this lesson before. I had the privilege of giving this message in Jerusalem, and just want you to think about some things. It's more of just kind of a thought-provoking message with regards to the conditions that took place 2,000 years ago. Luke chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 20, then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Sunday school time today, that you just speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Help me as I teach this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this message is called The Contrast in Significance. And the idea is we just read the account of Mary and Joseph and them traveling to Bethlehem, and there the Christ child would be born in a manger. But there are some contrasting themes as we read through this. And I want you to see those. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Three things I want to give you this morning with regards to light. That's the contrast, by the way, is all found throughout the Bible. Pastor Ethan last week preached on the miracle of light. And there's a contrast between light, there's a contrast between darkness. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. But think about, won't you, just for a moment, Mary and Joseph as they're traveling toward Bethlehem. We're reminded here that Caesar Augustus had, the Bible says that all the world should be taxed. It was really a census. And there was a census taken and everyone was asked to return to their hometown. And upon returning to their hometown, they would do a count and so on and so forth. But think of the contrast at that particular time. Caesar Augustus was actually Caius Octavius. And the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor was in power at that time. And he would be thought of course, as the most important important person, the most powerful person in the world. Caesar Augustus, Caius Octavius, powerful people. Rome was in control of much of Europe and those parts of the Middle East, and they had imperial rule. In fact, the Jewish people, they hated the fact that the Romans were occupying Jerusalem and occupying Israel. But it's said that historians tell us that the Caesar had under his authority 54 million people that they had conquered. The Roman legions, as I've already said, had conquered that part of the world. And everyone would have looked to Caesar Augustus, and everyone would have thought, if you were alive at that time, everyone would have thought that the most powerful man in the world and the most important person in the world was Caesar Augustus. Amen, right? And then you have Mary and Joseph traveling towards Bethlehem. No one really would have noticed them. No one would have thought much about them. In fact, when they got to Bethlehem, the Bible says there wasn't any room even for them to stay in the inn. They stayed in a stable. Two people, Mary and Joseph, both of them humble. Humble in character and humble in their possessions. Unnoticeable. Insignificant. They have, unlike the Caesar, no earthly power. They have no prestige. But who would have thought in Mary's womb, the Christ child, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the Savior to the world. To the world, Caesar Augustus was the most significant person on the earth. But there they are, just a young couple, and there Mary is with the Christ child. What a contrast. I preached this message on the steps of one of the cathedrals in Jerusalem that, you know, if you go to Israel, it's a wonderful trip if you can go to Israel, but one of the disturbing things about going to Israel is all of the shrines and all of the monuments and all of, because if the truth be told, there are some places they know exactly what happened, but many things are just built. And people say that this happened and this happened, but that's not necessarily the truth. And there are a lot of, I call them bells and whistles and a lot of touristy things. And you kind of step, if you can step back from all of that and just kind of remove all of that. And people get all caught up in that. They get all caught up in a religious fervor, but they forget that Christ came not to draw us all into some kind of a religious experience, but he came to draw us into a relational experience. And there it was, 2,000 years ago, just Mary and Joseph and the Christ child traveling to Jerusalem, but to all the world. No one would have thought anything of them. You know, today, there's a contrast in that significance as well. Many people don't have time for Jesus today. But if they knew that some famous sports person or some famous actor or actress or maybe even a famous politician, they would be drawn to go and to see them, wouldn't they? It's the world we live in. So things haven't changed. But still, the most significant person who ever walked on the face of this earth and who still lives today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was the contrast in settings. Rome, the most influential city of its day, about 1.5 million people lived there. And in the middle of Rome was the Forum, where all of the politics of not only Rome, but that whole conquered area, those 54 million people, All of their decisions were being made right there. And I'm sure you've seen the pictures of the amphitheaters and the pictures of the Colosseum. You've heard the stories of the gladiators. There was a place in Rome called the Circus Maximus. It would seat 200,000 people. I'm not sure I don't think there's any stadiums today that'll seat 200,000 people. I think the Rose Bowl out in California seats about 100,000 people. So it was huge. 10 miles of underground water systems in Rome at that time. 250 million gallons of water were pumped into the city. So the city was probably at that time the most modern city in the world. Drew people from all over the world. Caesar's palace, just where he lived, was 100 feet by 100 by 120-foot entrance. And that was all surrounded by rooms and beautiful marble columns and beautiful dining halls. And in his home, he had a private stadium. He had a private park. He had a private zoo. He had all kinds of pools and beautiful paintings on the walls and on the ceilings. And all the mythological figures, all the mythological gods, all the false gods that the Romans worshipped. But what a contrast in settings. Nazareth, just a poor town. Bethlehem, just a poor town. Humble villagers. That time only had one well. Bethlehem is then out of the way. I think it's about 12 miles from Jerusalem, somewhere in that vicinity. It's not over 20, I know that, and it's not under 10, somewhere between 10 and 20 miles. And just a little out-of-the-way place. Nothing much there. And there they are in a manger, just a crude lean-to, where it could have been when you go to Jerusalem, there are some mangers, they were caves cut out of the sides of the mountains. Just a feeding trough. Sure it didn't smell all that great either with the animals there. I'm sure it didn't smell like Caesar's palace, let's just say that. Just a speck on the map compared to Rome. But there, 2,000 years ago, the contrast in people, Caesar versus the King of Kings. The contrast in settings, the palace, the Colosseum, and a manger. No one would have ever thought that in that manger was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. I've never thought that. And then there is the contrast in strategy. In Romans chapter, or in Luke chapter number 2 here, verses 8 through 11, listen again while I read this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a contrast in strategies between Rome and the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome conquered by force. If you didn't heed the Roman laws and the Roman authority, they would literally crush you. You would be put to death. And there were many times that different citizens of different countries would rise up in opposition to Rome, and Rome would literally wipe them out. They were cruel. It was a dictatorial type of an atmosphere. For many, there was just a sense of hopelessness that the Romans will keep their foot upon us, symbolically I'm talking, and physically. There's just no hope. And that's how they tried to conquer. But Jesus Christ came. And He doesn't conquer with a sword, but He conquers by faith. He conquers by love. He conquers by who He is. Good tidings, it said, of great joy. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome's glory really is long gone. All you can do is go back to Rome today and see a lot of it. I'm told it's a beautiful city still to see, but they no longer rule the world. But Jesus Christ still rules in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And Jesus Christ will rule in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls for all of eternity. What a contrast. And true Bible-believing Christianity has never been such that, just like the Romans tried to force it on people, and I understand historically there were times that people called themselves quote-unquote Christians, tried to force Christianity on people. That's really not Bible-believing Christianity, by the way. But true Bible-believing Christianity was the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ was presented. The bad news that you're a sinner, that we're all born into this world as sinners, and that one day we're all going to die, and when we die, if we die in our sin, then we're lost forever. But the good news was that Jesus came, and Jesus came to go to the cross, and He went to the cross to die and pay for our sins, and if we'll place our faith and trust in Him on the cross, that He gives us eternal life. There's no greater news than that. Good tidings, the Bible says, of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the Romans tried to force their beliefs and force their rule and authority on people. Jesus comes and He offers it to you and to I. And He says for you and I that we have to decide on our own. He speaks to our hearts through His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And then He says to us, now you choose. You choose whether you want to receive the free gift or you choose whether you want to reject the free gift. The contrast in strategy. And all throughout history, men and women have brought the gospel to people. Not forcibly, but presenting it to them out of love and voluntarily. And all through history, people have received Christ as their Savior. So, just a short little lesson this morning, the contrast and significance. The two people at that time, Caesar Augustus, Caius Octavius, the most powerful man that people would have thought of in the world, yet really the most powerful person in the world was the Christ child. What a difference in settings. The royalty, the amphitheaters and the Colosseum and the Forum and the palace of the Caesar. And yet in a little manger, a little side town, was the most important event in all of human history taking place. Everyone would have thought the most important event is taking place in the Forum where they're making decisions. No, it was in that manger. That event was taking place. And the contrast in strategy. Christianity is not forced upon people. It's presented, and then you have to choose this morning. If you're here today and you don't understand what it means to be born again, during the morning worship service, I'm preaching this morning out of John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's probably the most well-known verse in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to think about this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking you, do you know about Him? Or have you ever heard of Him? But do you know what it means this morning to be born again? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know what it means to be born again? Do you know what it means to have a hope in eternity, to be sure, to be certain, without a doubt, to know that when my last days on earth come, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you hoping in? What are you putting your trust in? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Because today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you can receive the very greatest gift of all, the gift of having your sins forgiven and the gift of eternal life. It is the greatest gift that mankind has ever received. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So just a short Sunday school lesson today, just to kind of get you to think about the contrast of what was taking place in the world 2,000 years ago and what most people thought were important, but what's really important. What do you think is important today? But what's really important? Let's have a short word of prayer, and then again, there's coffee in the back, there's some snacks in the back, and our service will start, we've got about 25 minutes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for just your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, help us to think about eternity today. Help us to think about the gift of eternal life and why Jesus came and really what today is all about as we look back 2,000 years ago to the birth of our Lord and Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.